Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. As always, it's me and Gavin, but not as always. Wally is not here. He is on vacay, living it up. But as promised, we have Becca here with us. And people were so excited when we told them, hey, we've got Becca coming in. And I was telling the people that are in our potty group. So if you are not part of our Facebook potty group, you can join it now. The link is in the description of this aftercast. So if you want to join, you can do that there. But so many potties were very excited to hear from you.
About how Dirk is doing?
Oh, that's right. Dirk, the monkey tester.
That's what I thought this would be about.
I forgot all about Dirk. But anyways, I think I want to start this aftercast off the same way that I started off Zach's the other day. And it's with a here's how Betty hears the show. So these are just a couple of clips from in the past.
Okay.
Some of your shining moments.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Okay.
I'm trying new deodorant out today, and it is TBD on if it's working. Back off!
Yeah, see?
Back off!
Me and Einstein.
Einstein and I. The world is a dark and terrible place. Ha! Rob. Ha!
Oh.
I'm a little bitter. Even though Zach's guess was terrible, he was pretty close.
How is that terrible? Zach can never win with Becca.
This is the radio.
Is that too crazy?
Yes.
No! Does anyone ever have fun with you?
Get it done!
I got stuck in a romper in the Marshall's dressing room this weekend, and it was terrifying. I don't like you at all. I know that Anna belongs to Zach because they're both bald. Five!
Wait, how old was she?
Five! Like, I don't care.
What was that again?
What in the world? You had a sip of drink in there.
I did. I got so excited I spit it out.
Okay.
Never say that again. You're colorblind.
According to who?
According to me, because I'm right. The phones are broken, Phil. If you keep talking about this, I'm going to lose my mind. I hate it. I mean, I wasn't passionate at all.
No.
Ever.
Very animated.
I was. My goodness. Also, it's funny because I listened to yesterday's episode with Zach, and you guys were talking about how he always corrects people, and I also correct Molly a lot, but he was wrong a lot.
And he still is to this day. He still speaks with passion, whether he knows the information or not. It doesn't matter. So I think a lot of people, like one of our potties even said, with Becca, they missed you. You always doing you corrected with grammar.
Yeah.
Whereas Zach was more correcting with facts.
Yes.
You were more grammar related.
I also forgot how much of a hard time I gave Zach over Anna being bald. She was bald
That's
for
tough.
11 years.
Aren't
I
like,
swear.
Aren't like babies.
She's not even 11.
Aren't all babies/kids bald?
They are, but I would say she was like
extra bald,
kind of like a chia pet. It just took a little while. But she definitely has. She has hair now, and it's long, beautiful. But yeah, you definitely.
She also had very, very light hair, so even when it was coming in, you couldn't tell. So that just became a thing that I relied on.
That's tough.
Do you remember any of those stories that you were telling in there? Because Zach,
I don't.
Zach said the same thing. He was like, I don't remember singeing my eyebrows off. Why did I tell that story?
Yeah, it's so crazy because I heard him talking about it, and it's so true how you. Like he said, we have this daily diary that we get to give the world. Mm-hmm. And so one story that it was a nothing event in my life might actually have stood out in someone else's memory, but it doesn't necessarily in mine. And then sometimes people will approach me and I'll gaslight myself into thinking, do I lie? Do I lie about my life on the radio?
Well, that's what I was asking Zach. I was like, do you lie about these stories? Is that why you don't remember them? It's kind of odd.
But when the deodorant one and the getting stuck in a romper in the Marshall's dressing room, that's just kind of normal life for me. So that feels right.
It's the huge.
Yes.
Well, I know these probably are going to lead to other conversations, but I wanted to start off with one of the comments. I guess they're all questions mainly. But Josiah, he said, Becca, have you kidnapped any more dogs lately?
Yeah, so, you've been on an interesting dog journey since 5 years ago.
It's very true. Because so the story she's referring to, Gavin, I don't know if you know this, but when I was, I don't think I was even full time yet. I came to work and there was just a dog sitting in the middle of the road right in front of the station at 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And so I was like, hello, and it jumped into my van. So I brought her to the station.
Supposedly.
It was she just jumped right in. No, she was a boxer.
That wasn't Hadley,
Penny.
Right?
No, that was not Hadley. That was not my dog.
Named Teddy?
Penny. Oh, Penny. We named her Penny because she was a copper color, and we picked her up off the
street.
There
wasn't a tag or anything.
No. She had a collar, no tag. I took her to the vet. No one claimed her.
Oh.
She had fleas. I brought fleas to the office. You know, oh no big gosh. Deal. So I don't kidnap dogs anymore, but I did start fostering puppies, and we have had 8 foster puppies.
Goodness.
Now?
Really?
Uh-huh. And we foster failed once, so now we have 2 dogs.
And her name is
Ivy. Yeah, okay. So Hadley and Ivy.
And she was the first one that you guys fostered,
no,
right?
She was number 6.
Oh, okay. So you guys had, like, you just found maybe the perfect one later on.
Yeah, or honestly, she's just a mess, and we're like, she needs us, and we need her. She just fits in. We're both on the same anti-anxiety medication.
Oh,
it's
goodness.
Great. We
is
bought.
That even a thing?
Yes, it is.
That's odd.
There's a lot of medication.
Does she take a lower dosage than you or higher? What do dogs do when
I
it comes
upped
to...
mine, so she's on a lower... She's on half
now. She's on a lower.
She's on the same dose as Joey, though.
Is it...
Oh my gosh.
And how's Hadley doing?
Hadley's keeping us all together.
Look at her.
Yeah, I know.
How do Hadley and Ivy get along?
They're great. And that's one of the reasons we decided to keep Ivy is they, it's not like they're lovey-dovey cuddling, but Ivy, when we had her as a foster puppy, she was actually adopted for 24 hours. And we were all very sad, even Hadley. She just seemed very depressed. I cried so much. And then when the guy decided that it wasn't the right fit for him, we're like, she's ours. We're keeping her. She's ours.
And it took how long? You said it only took 24 hours for this guy.
Yeah.
I think you at least told me at one point that he was a little on the older side.
Yes. Great gentleman. Sure. He had not had a puppy before. And, and Ivy was a lot of puppy.
It's a beat. Like taking on puppies.
Has she calmed down though?
I mean.
How old is she?
She's 2 and she has calmed down. But sometimes she just gets so excited that you're alive and she'll roll all over your face. And it's so cute.
There's definitely stages of, like, let's say, like, puppydom that goes on forever.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can testify, like, you know, my Ellie is now 10.
Yeah.
And there's just still moments when you're like, you see the sparkle.
Yeah.
And you see the desire for the amount of energy.
Yeah.
But then you're like, sorry, the arthritis and, like, the gray in your face just make it a little tougher.
Yeah. This was, that reminds me, when we were working together, that was one thing that we had in common. We both were pet people, but you were more of a dog person and I am still more of a cat person. And just recently, I had to go and dog sit for a friend of mine that has 3 little long-haired chihuahuas. And it just reminds me over and over again, I am just not a dog person.
Really?
I love them and I want what's best for them, but it's kind of like, I love to be around them. I love to cuddle them. But they're a pet that I want to give back.
It's the version of a niece or a nephew that you're like, oh,
right.
Great, not mine.
Right. Like, I don't want the responsibility because, I mean, I don't know what it is, but these dogs that my friend has, they will go to the bathroom, but they like to mark their territory because they're all 3 boys. And then they will aim for the ground, but some will hit the other dog.
And then
sometimes they'll find each other's mess and want to roll in it.
Yeah.
I don't want that in my life. It's disgusting.
I will say, I have this philosophy that there really is a dog for everybody. And those aren't your dogs. Mm-hmm. Some of the fosters we've had, we've secretly whispering because we don't want them to overhear us. Be like, we cannot wait till they get adopted. Yeah. They're just not fits for us, you know?
So are you going to keep fostering or no?
Yeah, we have a couple times since we got Ivy. But we kind of just take it as it makes sense for our life.
Well, because then you're throwing 3 dogs into the mix.
Yeah,
which I will say that, like, we brought Jasper in and that became,
changed it.
That became the limit in my head of what I knew we were capable of. And every time Haley will see, she's like, oh, what if we got like another small one? Because Jasper loves small dogs. Like, what if we got him a little?
Got him a pet.
We're getting him a baby. Like, that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
Are you nervous about how Jasper especially will be with baby?
I think Jasper will be great with the baby.
Really?
Because I think he's, again, he's good with little, like, you know, babies. I was going to say people.
Not possums or skunks.
Well, no, he grabs them.
Well, hopefully Haley doesn't
them.
Give birth to a skunk.
Hopefully a
but
baby
I'm
doesn't.
Saying it's little.
Hopefully they won't
and he
move
was aggressive.
As fast. I don't know. You're speaking bad things into
I'm just pointing out what was told to me.
He's better with kids, like, just playing with him and being around him and being, like, Ellie's the one where if you move too quickly, she's a little, like, gets a little nippy at you.
Mm.
And that's even with us. And so she's the one I'm worried about, but she's not probably got that many years left, so it's not
dogs never die.
It's never too
Speaking
worried.
Of, so when you left, how old was Hadley and how old is she now?
Hadley is going to be 12 this year, and I left in 2020. So
what a grandma.
She's getting up there. Yeah, she's like you were talking about. She gets every time I put on my pants that I used to wear to walk them. She jumps up just like a little puppy dog, and then she can't make it very long. But she's such a sweetheart.
So you are seeing some aging.
She's older, but she's gonna live forever. It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm in denial.
You throw a younger dog in the mix, and there's a level of youthfulness that's kind of brought back and injected into them, where they want to match it almost.
We got a trainer for Ivy because she needed it, and the trainer said that we probably added 2 years to Hadley's life.
Oh wow,
see, that's great. Which is funny because we got a trainer. None of this stuff you do for cats, like all these things, all these messes that we're talking about, are all so selective to dogs. I know.
Well, they do spray though. I mean, when you were talking about the urinating issue, that's a cat thing too.
Oh, yeah. It can be.
Yeah. And you have two boys.
Right. But I have never had an issue.
That's good.
And I don't know if it's because, like, I got them fixed when they were really, really young. So maybe that, I really don't know.
Did you get both of them as kittens, really?
They were like 10 or 11.
Yeah, you got them fresh out the.
Yeah. Mm. Fresh out of the womb. Yes, that's true. Okay, let's go to Jessica's question. Jessica said, are you still afraid of clowns?
Yes. 1,000%.
We haven't had a good clown movie since It, too.
I wouldn't know. I was, Joey and I recently went to Vegas randomly, and we were looking at Cirque shows, like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I'm surprised you even looked at it.
Well, they don't all have clowns, so I had to make sure to find the one without the clowns, because they're acrobats, you know? Yeah. That's their main thing.
Clowns are acrobats?
No, just Cirque du Soleil.
They're performers.
Oh, okay.
And that's funny. But some of their shows have clowns that are acrobats. And I did not want to see this.
So you haven't had a recent falling out or a recent come to Jesus with a clown?
No. And honestly, in the 4 years since I left the show, my life has been surprisingly clown free.
Good job.
Yeah, because I was looking at some old photos that we have in our Instagram. And there was one where we were doing a photo shoot. And I think it was just you and me and, sorry, you and I. And Wally, and he had somehow gotten his hands on a clown face.
I know what you're talking about.
Costume, and he slipped it on when you weren't looking. And the guy that was taking the photos got it, your reaction right when you saw it, and it was complete fear.
Yes. Okay. So
like piddle in the pants.
Oh
fear.
My goodness! It's that mask was truly terrifying,
and
he kept using it. And at one point, I hid it deep in the depths of your office somewhere. If you ever find it, it's because I hid it there. Yes.
Oh my gosh. No telling.
I'm surprised. I'm glad it hasn't come to light. Or maybe I threw it away. I hid it for a while and I might have thrown it away at some point.
I don't blame
because
you.
I was like, no more. It was a funny joke. I played along.
Yeah.
But I am truly terrified.
Well, speaking of Wally and all that, you know, give people an update on what it is that you're doing now.
Yes.
And how it compares with what you were doing for the show.
So when I left in 2020, I went to Middays just by myself, and that I was doing from home because pandemic.
We're still at the, you're right, because you did kind of, you told us about leaving Via's when we still had you guys back on the Zoom screen every single day.
I had someone asking about that recently, a friend of mine. They were like, how did you do that? I said, it would be like having a conversation with someone, and then you wait 3 seconds for them to react.
And then the other person.
And I hated
it
because it
was horrible.
I don't regret staying home for an entire year. I really don't.
No.
But it was hard when you guys were having fun and you'd run out of the room and I'm just on the screen like, hello.
Hello. Yeah, and what do you do?
Yeah. You can't do anything.
I think from like a technical perspective, from like a human-to-human perspective, that will always go down as the most annoying.
It was
like
frustrating.
Yeah.
But
zone.
I'm glad we had the... I am eternally grateful that you all gave me the flexibility. That Way FM gave me the flexibility to do that. So I did Middays for 2 years, and then I moved to the afternoon show. I'm still doing it. I'm doing it solo. So that's obviously very different. Mm-hmm. I get lonely. That's true.
Sure.
But it's been fun just to kind of grow and discover who I was outside of the show, too, you know, because it's a different person that you become, you know, and I owe so much to this show and what I've learned and built with all of you. That I think it gave me the confidence and the capability to go on to do afternoons now.
Yeah, I was having a friend of mine ask me, because she was hearing some of the breaks that you and I were doing, Gavin.
Oh, yeah.
Since Wally's out. And she was like, oh, you need to just do your own thing. And I told her, I said, I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah.
Number two is fantastic.
Yeah.
And being number one, like you went from being the minor part to being the major part. And with that comes a lot of responsibility, and it all depends on you, what's happening in your life. You have to come up with topics. Yeah. And I just differ in that. I'm like, I like having someone to run off with, you know, and go back and forth with and ping pong off of. And so how has it been with that compared to when you were on the show and there were like four of us at one time?
And how much, like, how long do you think it took to grow into being comfortable with it?
It helped that I transitioned to middays and that I was tracked. So I recorded my show. Yeah. So that was a helpful transition piece. As far as not having anyone to bounce off of, that's difficult because my life's not interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to build a radio show around.
That's how I feel about mine. I'm like, I'm not doing
anything. It does yield, you know, when you have three, you know, people's lives to draw from.
You have, and you're all in different places in life too, and that's helpful. Two things that have helped. First of all, I will frequently ask my friends, what should I talk about today? And just what's on their mind is always, I just like to know what's on other people's minds. And that just kind of helps lead me down the path. But also, I don't know how much you guys have talked about our merger as a company.
Not really.
But we have a sister station now, essentially. And the woman who does afternoon shows at our sister station, we've become really close. And she's also solo. So she is my new bouncing off point. We'll be on Marco Polo a lot during the day. And I'll say, hey, I have this idea. It's kind of half-baked. And she'll give me just the key to unlock it all the way.
That's awesome.
So that's that. I don't know that I could do it without her. She's been everything.
That's awesome. Yeah. So now what does your schedule look like? Because you were talking about earlier with finding Penny. And it was 4:30 in the morning. Do you miss the getting up early? You miss the schedule? Like, what does your schedule look like now?
So I usually get into the station between 10 and 11. And then I'm live on air from 2 to 6. And then I head home. I think every day part has perks. Yeah. I do miss being able to just make appointments in the afternoon. Now I basically have to make appointments. I either have to get the first appointment of the day or try to fit it in on a Saturday if it's a hair appointment. But that's not always easy because everyone else is doing that.
Yeah. It does seem like interesting, though, because, if you throw in for the first, you know, thing or schedule, whatever your appointment doing in the morning, that's your morning. Then there's work. And then you're done. It does seem like you would get home and on some days and it's just like the day's kind of just done.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Joey goes to bed super early. So there's sometimes I'll come home and he's asleep. I think the worst as far as appointments has been is therapy, because I used to be able to leave here, have a 1 o'clock therapy session, go home. And now I have to try to squeeze it in before work. And then you come to work and you're thinking, I'm the worst human alive.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's bad timing.
It's bad timing.
And so what's stopping you from doing what you used to do during COVID, like pre-tape everything?
Oh, I mean, they prefer to have a live afternoon show. I like doing a live show. I like being able to take calls and if I have something, I definitely have the flexibility to record
to
a little bit. But
obviously it's such a big part of like the morning show and the Wally show. But it also gives you content and people to talk to and bring into the experience.
Yeah, it's just a different a different beast. And it's just easier to feed off.
Well, Roger asked, and
Roger.
I'm
I
heard the name Roger. He wants to know, and I'm sure everybody does, the Joey update. So if you could, where was he when you left here, and then where is he now?
So he's still sick overall. I think the biggest development since I left the show is he is now in the beginning stages of active liver failure, and that wasn't when I was on the show. We actually talked to Cleveland Clinic about a multi-organ transplant and decided that it wasn't going to be a good fit for him. So that was
What does that mean?
It's called a multivisceral transplant, and essentially he's going to need a new liver, but it's not his liver's fault. All the things leading to his liver have gone awry. So his body has made these new connections that just aren't working as well as they should.
Yeah.
So they would have to transplant intestines, stomach, liver. Sometimes they do pancreas. Sometimes they take just a bunch of these organs from one person, which all has to come from the same person.
Oh.
And put it. So it's very rare. It does not have a good success rate. The people that we started following who had it done are gone now because there's just the survival rate's not high. So we decided against that. We decided it wasn't a good fit, and he's not far enough along where he would have been a good candidate to essentially immediately be high on the list anyway. He's also on IV Nutrition now, which I think he was a little bit when I left the show, mm-hmm. but it's gotten to the point where he needs it every other night or he will not survive. Mm. Those are the negatives. And also he is in active deterioration. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, you know,
sure.
at what speed it's going or how long mm-hmm. I have with him. But he's not going to live forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
None of us are going to live. We're all in deterioration. Right. Yeah.
We could all get hit by a bus the next day. But what is liquid, whatever you said?
IV Nutrition. It's TPN, which stands for Total Nutrition.
Sounds close.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. And it's, some people have feeding tubes. He can't because of his anatomy and because they tried that and it just wasn't a good fit.
Well, so he doesn't have a stomach. Right.
And this goes through his bloodstream. So it's all the nutrients and calories that he needs, but through his bloodstream. But the catch 22 of that is that TPN can be bad for your liver. So, but all that to say, the good news is, if you remember when I was on the show, he was in the hospital every 6 weeks, like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
We are down to maybe 2 to 3 hospitalizations a year, which is a really big deal. I feel that he's in a good holding pattern. There's definitely days where he has bad days and bad stretches of time, mm-hmm. but I feel that we're in a good maintenance phase, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is he doing for a living? Like, does he have a job?
He works part-time at a place that buys and sells church gear, and it's a really good fit because he can go when he wants. They pay him for his time, and if he is not feeling well, he doesn't need to go, and he doesn't mm-hmm. get paid, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He also, we fought for him to get Social Security disability, and mm-hmm. he did get that.
That's great.
Earlier this year.
So which are the benefits from that?
So he gets a monthly check.
Okay.
And it's just when we have things taken out of our paycheck, one of those is Social Security, and that's for when we retire. But for some people, if they can't physically work to make enough to make a living, they can receive money from Social Security. But it was a 2-year fight to get that mm-hmm. because he's so young mm-hmm. and because they don't want to just give it to everyone and anyone.
Yeah, how old is he now?
He is 32.
32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a baby.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do the dogs help with all of that?
Oh, they're the best. They it's funny because they are so chaotic in the mornings and then they just sleep with him all day. And then I get home and they're so chaotic again. They're like, it's chaos, Mom! But they are... the dogs know, and studies have shown it, but they snuggle up and take good care of him, and it's very, very sweet to see.
And how are our Joey spirits with everything?
I think, it's day-to-day, and one thing that I'll say that I think it has taken me a bit to realize is that PTSD definitely can come up in seasons.
Mm.
So sometimes, for example, a lot happened in February, early March, just kind of in his story over the years, multiple big, big things. So he was kind of in a funk for February and early March.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's kind of coming out of it. So overall, I would say he is still overwhelmingly positive, mm-hmm. overwhelmingly wanting to do as much as he can, as often as he can,
mm-hmm.
not wanting to see himself as someone with limitations at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have those times where A, the trauma gets you, mm-hmm. and B, where it's frustrating that his body can't do what he wants it to. And that's discouraging, you know?
Right. Yeah. What is a typical week or month? I guess that's too wide. Maybe like a week. What does a typical week look like for y'all?
He sleeps a lot, which is great.
Does he take medication that makes him sleep or something?
Sometimes. So when he does eat, he'll often take a muscle relaxer just to kind of help the digestive process because it's not easy for him. So that sometimes will put him to sleep. He always gets up and takes his nausea medicine first and foremost. He tries to work 2 days a week for just 3 or 4 hours a day. He also has people that come check in on him. Mm-hmm. He loves to take drives still. That's always been a thing mm-hmm. that just gets him out of the house. But mm-hmm. I mean, typically he'll get up when I do and we'll hang out a little bit in the morning and then he'll go back to sleep at some point and wake up and do a few things around the house or whatever if he's not working. It's just kind of day by day, just depending on how much energy he has and how much he has to give.
Is he going to therapy or counseling?
Mm-hmm. He is.
And he likes it?
You feel
like you see a difference in him when he does?
I do, yeah. He has someone who specializes in chronic illness, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes once a month now, just as like that's his standing appointment, just
like
to
maintenance.
Yeah, kind of keep up. And there are times he's a Enneagram 3, which if you dive into, he's the achiever, the always wants to be just the star student, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there are some times where I think he, when he's in a good space, he doesn't want to dwell on the bad, which is very respectable.
Oh, it's human.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. So sometimes he'll go and he'll be like, oh, yeah, we just caught up. Like old friends chat, you know. And then other times but we have a rule in our house that we don't have to talk about what we talk about in therapy. Mm-hmm. And because typically for me, I have to work through it for a couple of days on my own before I can even put words to it. So.
Right. Well, and you've always been open about your own mental health. Mm-hmm. So how are you doing with caregiving and all of that?
I'm doing well. I upping from Ivy's dose of anti-anxiety meds. To
if you ever run out, you're like, give me some of Ivy's.
One before. For me, one for you.
That's our routine.
Oh,
no, I feel like I'm in a really good spot, honestly. There are hard days, but I feel like I'm in a healthy spot.
And you're going to see a counselor, too, that's about the same thing.
Caregiving,
right?
Yeah. PsychologyToday.com has a therapist finder where if you have something specific that you think, man, not everyone understands this, you can click just the most random boxes. I have a friend who's an MK, a missionary kid, and she sees someone who specializes in third culture kids, which is because that's a different experience that not everyone understands.
Right.
So if you have something unique, I mean, just see who you can find.
And I know this is, you didn't plan for this because I didn't know it, but is there one takeaway that you have learned from your caregiving?
In the last few years.
Psychologist, yeah, that's really.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, from therapy. Ooh.
Yeah, that's really carried you through something you keep finding yourself leaning back on.
I feel like, how heavy you want to get?
I mean, I feel like with you, a lot of things
you have
are
the
heavy.
Floor.
I mean. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that person.
No. It's just that you're very open.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable in dark spaces, but I know not everyone is.
You're a four.
I am a four, which, again, that's I live in the dark spaces, and that's fine, but not everyone lives there, so I try to be mindful of that.
Well, also just in general these days, we have a lot of conversations on the Aftercast about therapy and about should go to therapy, or like, could you go to, like, what if you did go to therapy? And this is
I've tried to get Wally in on it, and that's beating a dead horse.
You know what? Oh, you know what you need to do before I answer your question? You know what you need to do is you need to trick him. That's how you get him into therapy. You need to figure out a way to just make him, he needs a new friend, right? Now that Greg's moved away.
Yeah.
Get him a new friend.
Disguise
him as a friend. They just meet up and they go riding bikes or whatever they do.
Yeah.
He just asks an occasional question, like, hey, how's your relationship with your mom, you know?
Yeah.
I could see this
working.
I
mean, that's the only other thing I can think of.
If you want to apply, email Betty.
Betty@wayfm.com. I think that's my email. I don't know anymore.
I know.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. as far as takeaways, man, there's so many, and I feel that I've had a different one depending on what season I'm going through. I think one that... This maybe isn't the top one, but it's the first one that comes to mind, is sometimes having to separate who I am as a caregiver from who I am as a wife and who he is as a patient from who he is as my husband.
Wow.
Like, there's multiple factors at play, and sometimes it's helped me to kind of put situations in boxes. So, for example, when he is in a lot of pain, that's not my husband lashing out at me, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a patient who is a 10 out of 10 on the pain scale now. Or when he is falling asleep, that's not my husband being bored. That's a patient who has gotten his medications and is now falling asleep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I think that's helped me just kind of draw lines and keep our marriage special and
healthy.
And healthy. Exactly. And because I like him so much, you know, I love him so much. But there are unique situations that not every marriage has that ours does.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's the next big trip y'all have coming up?
We might be going to Hawaii.
Whoa.
It's not fully planned yet.
Best place in the world, man.
I thought you were going to be like, I hated it.
It's the best place in the world. I think about it every day still.
It's kind of the job that he has, one of the guys there is from Hawaii, and they are putting a new sound system in their church, and they need someone to come train volunteers. And it's like, Joey, you know this year really well. How about I pay for your flights and hotel? And then, of course, if he's going to Hawaii.
Heck yeah.
Tag along.
I'm going to Hawaii.
It's a great avenue to experience quote-unquote vacation.
I will say that traveling with someone who's chronically ill, there's a lot more complicated factors that you have to consider, like his TPN that he's on every night. That has to be refrigerated. And so now I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do we fly that long, that far, and keep it cold?
Keep it cold. We
have some ideas. We've done it before. We'll put like a soft cooler in just a small bag and check it. It always gets searched, but it makes it okay.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, just things you never think about. Yeah. That's awesome.
But it's worth enjoying the time, you know?
Yeah.
If it's a hassle, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, those are the only questions that I had from our potties. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you'd like to let our potties know about?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, because, you know, we talk about a lot of, like, I think heavy stuff within that.
Yeah.
But what, over these last, you know, kind of few years, one benefit of walking in every day is that you know what somebody's, like, really into. He's like, I know, that, like, you know, so-and-so was like, Wally is really into, you know, his bike riding or whatever he's into, his hobbies. What are some like sources of like joy and fun that have maybe sort of found their way into your life over these last few years that are new? And that
I will say fostering dogs has been great just on its own, but also I volunteer with the organization that we foster through too, which has been a lot of fun. I have a church that we go to that I really enjoy. We didn't have that for a while. Because we had moved and, you know, and then he was in the hospital all the time. So it's hard to look for a church.
Sure.
And so that has been a big source of joy. I feel that the relationships I have just gotten deeper and more meaningful. When he first got sick, I lost some friends. And not because they were like, I don't want to hang out with you. Your husband's sick. But just we're in different stages of life. And it just got harder and harder to get together. And so the friends I have, I feel that I have just the bonds have just gotten deeper and deeper. And that's been a huge blessing. As far as hobbies, I don't know. I've been reading a lot.
Hey, cool.
I'm not that exciting.
No, but reading. I like that. I read all the time, so that sounds awesome to me.
Yeah. Audiobooks, which is bad because I'm in... This is a total side note. Whatever. It's the aftercast. I'm in this phase right now where I'm listening to a lot of British authors, and so I'll go home and I'll be like, Joey, can you get something from the garage for me?
Garage.
What?
So I had a close friend of mine that her little boy was watching Peppa Pig, and he started picking up on the terms that they used there, and so she took him out on his bicycle. And they had just taken the training wheels off. And he looks at his mom. And I mean, they're in White House, Tennessee. So, I mean, they're country as it comes. And he looks at his mom and he goes, Mama, where's my stabilizers? Because that's what they call them in England. They're little
instead of training wheels.
Yeah, they call them stabilizers. But he still says, Mama, where's my stabilizer?
That's funny. That's a very confused child.
Very interesting.
Very confused child.
I do this. I mean, like, again, not even a kid. And I'll talk about Bluey till I die.
Yeah.
But like I'll Haley and I use Bluey lingo just all the darn time.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's a tactical way.
It's a tactical way. So
oh, gosh.
I get that.
All right. Well, back to is there anything you wanted to tell our potties?
I don't think so. I don't hear the show much, but I love getting to hear you guys more. And I think it was just a good timing for everyone that I left. And yeah, I'm...
Well, tell them where they can keep up with you.
Oh, yeah. You can email me, Becca, B-E-K-A-H, at wayfm.com. Also on social media, just search WayFM Afternoons on Facebook or Instagram.
Perfect. Well, we always end with saying, and thanks for being a potty.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that to you.
And as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.